Well, good morning. I'm so glad to see you today and glad to welcome those worshiping with us online as well. So glad that you could be here. Now, last weekend, we were out of town, and all I heard about when I got back was how good Carmen did preaching for us last week. Did y'all hear that? Yeah, and it wasn't just her mama talking about it. People celebrate. You know, we were fortunate because we have a lot of staff, a lot of ministers, a lot of folks who can really preach well. And so I'm so glad to have them. But I'm glad to be back with you. It's great to go away and see family and friends. But it's always good to come home, isn't it? No place like home, right? And so I'm glad to be back with you today. You know, we're going to start a new series today, and it's entitled, You'll Be Glad You Did. And it's about wisdom. It's about simple things. It's about things maybe you've heard, maybe some things that you haven't heard. It's things that we all need to take in and apply into our lives. And when we're growing up, you know, we get a lot of people giving us wisdom. When we become adults, a lot of times we're not as apt to listen as closely as maybe we should to other people. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I've heard that. You ever said that? So today we're going to read a scripture, and you've heard it before, but don't discount it too quickly, okay? Because there's some benefit to it. And we're going to cover it in a little bit later, but I'm just going to read it to us before we get started this morning so that we can look at it together. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, I always get nervous when I read that scripture living in Florida. Have you ever thought about that? Because really, how many of us were able to build our houses on a rock? There is no rock here. There's sand, and then you dig down, and there's more sand. And there's just sand. That's what you've got. And so it's very difficult. See, in the biblical times, what they would do is they built houses differently then. They didn't have all the codes we have today, but they had to build them differently, and they would just find a place that had rock. There's a lot of rock in Israel. There's places where there's no vegetation in the desert, and all it is rock. It looks like the moon. And so, but if you found a level place and you could build something on top of that, then the water and the wind and the waves could not wash it away, right? Because we've seen that, unfortunately. It's hurricane season again. Yay for that, right? But we've seen that, and we know how the waves and the wind can just wash stuff out underneath the house. Houses on the beach especially, and they're built up on stilts, but everything, I mean, you can wash the whole thing into the Gulf. I mean, I've seen that happen before. And so what we're going to talk about today is the wisdom of building our lives on the right foundation with God so that we might benefit from that wisdom that he gives us. Now, with that scripture in mind, the theme of the whole series is, you'll be glad you did. Say that with me. You'll be glad you did. So that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks. And today, we're going to talk about connecting the dots. Here's what I'm saying. The decisions we make today will impact our lives tomorrow. So we want to make good decisions today so that we'll be glad we did tomorrow, right? And so that's what we'll look at. Now, with that in mind, I'd just like to educate you and give you information because that's why I'm here. That's the kind of guy I am. In case you're not up on current events, how many of you have traveled up Highway 79 to Bonifay, Florida? Anybody here gone that way? Okay, I want to acknowledge both of you who have been that way. And see, you wouldn't even know this if you didn't come to church because you've never been that way. But they built a four-lane road. I was so excited. When I moved here, they were working on 23. It was already built, but they were doing stuff up there. Then they were working on 331. They were working on 79. They're still working on 77. Eventually, we'll have hurricane evacuation routes. Isn't that great? And maybe we won't need them. Let's pray, all right? But here's the deal. If you go up Highway 79, they got this brand new four-lane road. It's smooth. It's just easy to drive. It's wonderful. And then they opened it. It was ready. And I said, great, it's ready. And so we took it. And we drove up there, and everything, didn't no glitch, not a glitch. All the way to the interstate, all the way up, four lanes, it was wonderful. And then right after they opened it, they did something that I am not happy about. They closed it. They closed a section of it just south of Vernon. There's this big curve with this new road, and they closed that part. And now they have this detour, and you have to go over here on the old road and go around that and come back. I mean, both sides of the road are closed. This brand new road, and they got all this dirt and stuff piled up there. So for lo these many years, I've been taking the detour about that. And you know, I'm a curious individual. And so I said to my wife one weekend as we were traveling, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop at this gas station and ask these people in there what's going on with the road, because apparently nobody else is paying attention. Maybe they know. So I did. I went in there and I said, hey, what's up with the road out here? And they said, you know what? The state came in and built that road with all their experts and all of their money and all their expertise and all the resources they had at their disposal. And they built that thing over a spring. And the spring has washed it out. And now it's a big sinkhole over there. And so they closed the road. And I said, well, when are they going to fix it? Your guess is as good as mine, they said. So I've been thinking about that, because that's what I do. And I want you to be informed, and I want you to know what's going on. And I try to make things happen. That's the kind of guy I am. So I called someone who has some authority here in Bay County who would know the answer. And I said, hey, what's the deal with Highway 79? He said, well, there's a sinkhole up there because there's a spring. I said, yeah, I know that part. I learned that several years ago when you first closed the road after you just built it. Here's what I'd like to know. Is it going to open again? Is there a master plan? What are we going to do? We're going to build a bridge? We're going to put concrete? How are we going to deal with this? He said, hold that thought. And he contacted his brother. Now, have you ever heard the joke about the guy who said, me and my brother know everything? Just ask us anything you want to know. Me and my brother know everything. Go ahead, ask us. And you ask, what do I say back to you? My brother knows that part. That's what I tell you. Well, he does. He contacted his brother, and he said, okay, it is a sinkhole. It has washed out the road. There is a spring down there. But we're filling it back in. We've been monitoring the situation. We're filling it back in, and hopefully we'll be able to open it up again next year. So just hang on. And I will report back to you and let you know how my road is coming, Highway 79, going north. Since none of you take that road, you go the other way, I'm going to make sure that you know about that. We're going to have current events. When you leave here today, you will be so filled with knowledge. You'll be able to tell everybody else, hey, did you know about that highway on 79? Do you know what's going on there? The preacher said there's a spring up there under the road. Those geniuses have done us wrong. Okay. Let's move on. All right. Well, that's the whole point of building your house and the right foundation, building your life, your spiritual life, doing all that. Now, if you make good decisions, you'll reap benefits from it. If you make bad decisions, you'll suffer the consequences from it. And so what do we tell our children and grandchildren? Now, it's important for you to study in school and make good grades, because when you make good grades, that'll prepare you, and you can go on and go to school beyond high school. You can go to college. You can learn things. You'll benefit from that. And so it can be to your benefit to do that. And then here's another thing that we have told our children and grandchildren. Be careful who you date, because the people you date tend to lead up to the person that you will marry, right? Have you ever told them that? And you know, I can remember with our girls saying to them, you think that this guy is the guy. Let me tell you, I've met this guy. I've talked to him. He's not the guy, okay? He may be somebody's guy, but he's not your guy, okay? And they just can't see it. And they're going to change him, right? They're going to make him better, right? And so then later on, they come back to me and they say, "You remember when you told me he's not the guy?" "Yeah, I remember. I lost sleep over it." Well, you know what, Daddy? You were right. Now, that's worth a lifetime of joy, just to have your child say to you, "You were right." You know, as they get a little bit older, they get a little bit smarter later on, and they say, "You know, you were right." Well, yeah, I was right. I mean, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out, right? And so here's what you say to them. The person you date could affect the person you marry. And if you marry the wrong person and they have the wrong in-laws that I don't want to spend time with, I'm not going to be happy. So it's all about me. Take care of me, will you? And if you don't make good grades, I'm not going to be happy. So make good grades. But really, you're trying to help them. Now, when you make healthy decisions, you are happy about your choices, right? I mean, it's just wisdom. It just makes sense. And so that's what we want to try to practice in our own lives. And we've lived long enough to know. You know, have you ever said this? "I wish that I knew when I was 20 what I know now. If I'd only known when I was 20, I would have done things differently." Or maybe you said this: "If I had just remembered what I knew when I was 20, I would have benefited from the..." Or maybe you've said this: "If I had just applied what I knew when I was 20, I would be so much wiser today. It would be to my benefit." So you'll be glad that you did if you'll take that good advice. Now, here's a word of wisdom for you. Don't trade what you want most for what you want in the moment. Now, that'll preach right there. I don't care who you are. That'll preach. And so what do we say to our kids? No, you probably don't need to buy that since you are thousands of dollars in debt. Pay off your debts first, because that's a want, not a need. Pay off your debt. You'll be paying yourself. And then you'll have money. And then you can buy that with no problem. And by the way, you can live without it until you pay off your debt. So take care of that. Now, they don't necessarily want to hear that, but it's good wisdom. It's good advice, isn't it? So financially, we try to help our children and grandchildren. We try to help them understand financial goals. School, we try to talk to them about school. We talk to them about relationships. We talk to them about marriage. We talk to them about everything, because we want to make sure that they do not ignore the good advice that is there for them. Now, here's another thing: wisdom. Fear being wrong more than you fear admitting that you're wrong. How about that? You see, some of us, we don't want to admit that we're wrong. We don't want to say that we're wrong. So we won't even listen to anybody. We won't say that we're wrong. And we need to fear being wrong more than admitting it. You know, when I was younger, I didn't necessarily want to do that, especially where family was concerned. You ever do that? I don't want to admit to my wife or my kids or my parents or my friends or my coworker, you know, "You could be right." As I get older, I find myself saying all the time, "You know, I didn't think about that. That's good advice. Thank you for sharing that with me." And I'll ask questions. They'll say something. I'll say, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that means. Spell that out for me." I don't worry about them thinking I'm a dummy, okay? I just go ahead and let them know real quick. "I'm a dummy. Now tell me what you're talking about." Because you can learn stuff doing that, right? And so it's of your benefit to do that. Nobody likes to say, "I was completely wrong." But you know, when we say, "Well, you know what? I had never thought about that. That is a good word. I'm so glad you're here to tell me that kind of thing. What a blessing you are." But what we do is we dig our heels in. We've already taken our stance. So now we're just going to die on that hill. No, that's just foolish. We should fear being wrong more than we fear admitting that we're wrong. We don't have to get defensive and make excuses about things. And wisdom can give us two gifts and two specific capacities. One, wisdom can serve as a guide. Wisdom can be a guide. We can benefit from the wisdom that we get from other people. At the first service, I was talking to people before the service started. And there was this row of people there, a family, and it was different generations. It was an extended family. And they were here worshiping with us, and they were from Kentucky. And I said, well, how are y'all doing? They said, fine. And they said, we normally go to the 10:15 service, but we came to the 9 o'clock service today. And I said, you did that just to mess with me, didn't you? Now my equilibrium's going to be thrown off for the whole hour while I'm looking going, y'all are supposed to be at 10:15. What are you doing here at 9 o'clock in the morning? So then they were new. Okay, let me explain. They were new to the church, so they did not know not to ask me questions. See, those of you who know me say, no, don't ask him anything. You'll never get away. He'll talk to you forever. So they said, well, tell us, where are you from? And I said, well, you can tell by my Wisconsin accent that I grew up in Tennessee. But I did spend some time in Kentucky. When I was a kid, we lived in Bowling Green for 4 years. Later on, I went to graduate school just south of Lexington in Wilmore, Kentucky. And so I was up there. And they said, oh, we see. And so we talked about that a little bit. And they said, well, how did you get down here? And I just shook my head and I said, they really are new. They don't know, do they? Okay. Well, and I pointed to the woman who asked me, because the rest of them were held hostage. And I said, she asked the question. You can blame her. So I said, when I was a kid, they lied to us and told us they were taking us to Florida to church camp. And then they put us on the bus and took us to Baldwin County, Alabama. But you know, one by one, the guys in the youth group went into the ministry. There are five guys from my home church who went into the ministry. We got down here to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. This preacher gave us a job. We just kept working down here. We didn't know. We weren't smart enough to know. But we never turned back. We just stayed right here because this is where God wanted us. Now, here's the deal. I made a decision the summer between the 8th grade and the 9th grade when they said, do you want to go to church camp? I said, yeah, I'll go. And I got on the bus. And man, that decision has really impacted my life. One decision made that much difference in my life, and I answered the call to the ministry, and I never looked back. And now I've spent all these years in the ministry and having a great life and sharing the love of Jesus with people. What a blessing that was. And so, you know, there's a guide. There are people along the way to guide us in the right direction, and aren't we thankful for those people, the adults who taught us, the people, the preachers who preached to us, the people who loved us, the people who counseled us. They gave us wisdom. They gave us words of wisdom. And so here's three ways to measure when you're trying to determine what to do with wisdom. In light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what decision do I need to make about this particular thing? And oftentimes when we use those parameters, the answer comes to us very clearly, and we are able to act on it. Now, another word of wisdom. Wisdom helps us set up guardrails. Helps us set up guardrails. You know, guardrails are to keep us from going into the danger zone. That's why you have guardrails. And they can be financial or moral or relational. They can be mental or emotional or physical. What do we do with our children? We find all kinds of ways to help them stay between the guardrails so that they don't get into a bad situation. While we were up in Birmingham, Alabama last weekend, our son-in-law said he was going to grill hamburgers for us. And I said, praise the Lord, let's go. And we went to their house. We're in a nice neighborhood. We're driving over to our daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter's house. And as we're driving over, very slowly, driving the speed limit, paying attention, nice neighborhood, we come down this big hill A lot of nice houses. We get to the bottom, and Laura and I both look in the front yard, and who do we see but a little boy like 3 years old? A little three-year-old blonde-headed little boy. We don't know him. We've never been there before. We've driven by there, but we don't know who lives there. And we look at each other and we say, anybody watching him? And so we stop. And Laura gets out of the truck and she walks up to the front door and he says, hi, how are you? What's your name? What are you doing here? Well, I thought I'd come visit you and your family. Let's go up here and check. That door's locked, he said. That front door's locked. And she said, well, let's see if we can get somebody to come to it. And so she goes, come on up here with me. And she rings the doorbell and Dad comes to the door. Can I help you? Well, I just wanted you to know my friend is out here in the yard, and I just wanted to stop and make sure that someone was aware of that. And Dad looked down at that little boy, and he said, Wesley Newton, what are you doing in the front yard? You're supposed to be inside. What had happened, you could tell by looking at the driveway, there's a pickup truck there, and that belongs to Dad. Later, we were driving by there, and there was another car there, and that belongs to Mom. And Mom was not there. And Wesley Newton had slipped out and come out into the front yard. He just decided he wanted to be out there. And so his dad was really concerned. He thanked us and waved to us. And he wasn't ugly or anything, but he was explaining to Wesley Newton that the front yard really is off limits unless you got a parent out there with you. So he would understand that. But he's also, and you know, I got a feeling that when Mom got home, Wesley Newton was not the only one who got into trouble, okay? I'm thinking that Dad was at the top of the list there because apparently he wasn't paying good enough attention to Wesley Newton. Well, I was just thankful that we were going by because there he was. He needed a guardrail to keep him in the right place. Now, a lot of times in life, what happens is that we have some regrets. And the reason that we have regrets is the next point. Our greatest regrets are often preceded by a series of unwise decisions. Have you ever looked back on your life and say, you know, I never should have done this because it led to this, because it led to this, and then it led to this, and this, and this. And man, if I hadn't started down the wrong road over here, or if I'd changed somewhere along the way, things would have been so much better. And so what we want to do is we don't want to just make a series of unwise decisions. Well, I've started in this direction, I'll just keep going. No, you're going the wrong way. Stop and think, no, how can I change this? How can I move in a different... So let me just meddle for a little bit while we're here, okay? Just take a little break and meddle in your life. Are you currently making a series of unwise decisions? Because if you are, you are moving toward regret in your life. I promise you, it's going to come. And so what can you do differently to move in the right direction? The circumstances surrounding your regret that will follow you may follow you for the rest of your life. Think about that. You know, I think she's the one. I think he's the one. And so I'm going to get married. And all your friends and your family say, no, that's not the one. But you don't listen. And then sure enough, you come back and say, you know what? They were right. That's not the one. Well, what are you going to do now? I see, I don't want to make another bad decision because I've already made one bad decision. I want to change direction and make a different decision. Maybe you've got financial regret because you made some bad choices. Maybe you've made some unwise decisions in the past in a certain area. Wisdom protects us from unnecessary regret, and it warns us about that danger zone, because the danger zone is there for us to say, no, I don't need to go there. Because listen, what happens when you go through the danger zone is you get to the disaster zone. And it's not any better. It's worse than the danger zone. So there are guardrails there for a reason. Now, here's another one, a word of wisdom. Culture will bait you to the threshold of self-destruction and then condemn you once you step through the door. Now, this is something that's really true. If you're, let's say that you're a student, and maybe you're in high school or college, and maybe you have friends and they are peers and they try to get you to do something that you know you don't need to do. We're all going to go do this. Why don't you go do it? We'll have a good time. And you're going, I don't need to do that. That's not a good thing. I don't need to participate in that. But all of them are saying, well, let's go do it together. So you step out there and you go do it, but they don't go. And then the minute you do that, they say, well, you fool. You're so crazy. You made a bad decision. Why did you do that? Well, you told me to. No, we didn't do it. You did it. All of a sudden, they turn on you. Now, that's the way the world is. That's the way the culture is. And so they'll bait you into doing something you don't need to do. And then they'll turn around and they'll criticize you for doing it. That's a danger zone, and it's leading you to a disaster zone, and you don't need to go there. And that's why we're going to talk about this for a few weeks and look at the wisdom of Jesus. Now, the message that Jesus preached is called the Sermon on the Mount. But scholars believe that he didn't just preach this one time. He didn't just tell this one time because he went a lot of different places. And this is a really good sermon, okay? So probably he's given them some basic principles to live by. And he's using this again and again and again to help them understand. This is how you're to live. This is how you're to respond. This is how you are to react and to serve and to love and reflect on your Heavenly Father. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he ends it by just simply saying, this is wisdom. Take advantage of it. It's something that can be of your benefit. So it says in Matthew, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Okay? Now, the implication is I want you to walk wisely. I want you to live wisely. I want your life and decisions and relationships and finances. I want every area of your life to be characterized and shaped by wisdom. And he says, therefore, every man who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And we know that I've already talked about how they built houses back then and how that would be beneficial. And then the scripture goes on and says, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because. Why didn't it fall? Because the builder did the right thing. See, sometimes it may cost more money, it may take longer, it may be more difficult to do, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. You get that level out and make sure it's really level as you're building. You don't just slap it together and move on, right? And so there's a benefit to doing it the right way, and when you do it that way, later on, you'll be glad you did, right? And so why didn't it fall? Because the builder did the right things. And Jesus is saying, I'm inviting you to build your life on these principles I'm teaching you. And I want you to listen. I want you to hear me. And I want you to apply this to your life. And he says this, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man. Now, we don't use that word fool a lot, and we really shouldn't. But in the New Testament and the Old Testament, it talks about that a lot. And so we realize that what we do today does really impact what happens tomorrow. The relationships we have today can impact the decisions we make for tomorrow. And so it's important. There's a connection there. A foolish person would say, well, yeah, I can do this today. Listen, if I make a bad decision today, I'll fix that later on tomorrow. Well, that's not always the case. And it's going to be harder to do it if it is at all possible later on. Why not just start out the right way and do the right thing? And then it says this, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. So why does Jesus tell us no? Why is he telling us the right thing to do? Because it is for our benefit, not our detriment. Have you ever told your children, have your parents ever told you no because they love you? Have they ever told you, well, no, that's not a good choice, that's not a good decision, because they want to protect you? I would imagine that Wesley Newton's daddy said, son, don't go out and play in the road, okay? Because that's not a good place for you to play. There's plenty of yard back here in the back. You can come inside and do something. But you know what? We need somebody to guide us. We need that wisdom. We need that help in life. So Jesus taught for our benefit, not for our detriment. And he was inviting people to a better life. And he was helping us understand that, you know, once we do that, once we make the right decision, it makes us a better father or mother or friend or employer or employee. It will make us better in every way. It might not do it immediately, but it will do it ultimately if we'll take advantage of it. And then we see that wisdom is sowing now so that we will reap later. You know, there's a season to sow your crops. There's a season to harvest the crops. And you got to do that at the right time. And you got to sow it because then you'll have a great benefit later on and you'll reap what you sow. You ever heard that? Yeah. And so I was talking to our graduates, our girls who just graduated from seminary, Carmen and Farah. And I was saying to them in May, they graduated in May, I was saying to them, do you know how many years ago I graduated from seminary in the month of May? And they said, no. And I said, 40 years ago, this last month, I graduated from seminary, the same seminary that you're attending now, only 40 years ago. And they said, we're going to give you a new name. We're going to call you Methuselah because it was 40 years ago. But you know what? As I look back on that, I'm so glad I did, because God called me into the ministry and I had to go through seminary in order to do what God was calling me to do. Now, I served two little churches while I was in seminary. My senior year, my wife had graduated from the college. She got a job teaching school in her hometown. I commuted once a week on Monday and come home on Friday from Tennessee to Kentucky my senior year. And I gave up those two little churches that I was serving. And she was making the big bucks now, supporting us there teaching school, a whopping huge salary there in Tennessee on the mountain. Well, here's my point. I loved the people in the churches and they loved us. And I really wanted to give up seminary and serve the two little churches another year because those were such sweet, salt of the earth people. But God said, no, you have to do this in order to do this. And so you got to go one more year. And when you go one more year, you'll be through, and that will open the door for you for your ministry. You'll be able to go from there. And I'm so grateful for that, because all these years later, that enabled me, that decision to do what God was calling me to do the hard part of it, to do whatever he was saying so that I might be used by him in this way. And so he invites us to have wisdom, to make the right choices, to do what we need to do. Now, knowing and doing are two completely different things, okay? Knowing but not doing has the same outcome as not knowing. What about that? So look, if you have the benefit of knowing something, if you don't know, you can't fix it. But if you know something, you need to take advantage of it, right? And so that's an opportunity. Why would you be that foolish to know what to do and not do it? And so you apply it. Now, that's why God sent his son to become flesh and dwell among us. He didn't just send a letter. He didn't send more commandments. He sent his son so that we might know him and love him and serve him and get to have a relationship. We could apply the wisdom that he's giving us in life to do what he wants us to do. So I'm talking to you about wisdom, and I'm talking to you about making decisions and choices. But today, what I want to know is, what are you going to do about it? Because that makes all the difference in what you do. See, you can sit and listen and you can talk and you can pray. You can even dream about it if you want to. But then there comes a time when you have to act. And how are you going to act? What are you going to take advantage of? Jesus didn't say, learn from me. Jesus said, follow me. You don't just learn and stop. What are you going to do with it? You follow him. And that's really the way that life is fleshed out and that wisdom is put into practice. And it doesn't just affect you. It affects other people that you love and that love you. And so you follow him. Now, here's the last thing, and I'm going to wrap it up. Today, what do you need to do that you just haven't done? What is it that you're putting off? What is it that you dread? What is it that you know you need to do, but you're trying to psych yourself up to get ready to do it, okay? What is it that God is calling you to do? Because, you know you'll be better for just doing it if you'll just go do it. But for whatever reason, maybe you're afraid, you're procrastinating, you're holding off, you're holding back. So I just want to encourage you today, just do it. You'll be glad you did.